Welcome to the Not Old Better Show. I'm host Paul Vogelzang. Longtime friend and colleague, Dusty Wright, is a content creator and culture curator. He's a contributor to the Huffington Post. He's a DJ at David Lynch's Transcendental Music Radio, the former editor-in-chief of Cream and Prince's new Power Generation magazines, as well as a writer of films, fiction, and television. He's also a singer-songwriter who's released 4 solo CDs, along with a wonderful new song, Fly, which is inspirational and meaningful. My guests today on the Not Old Better Show are Dusty Wright, and he's joined in his home studio via Skype with colleagues, director Stephanie Riggs and producer Serena Belsby. We'll have links to everyone's details, but it is an august group, talented and respected. Of course, because it's Dusty, we'll listen to his new song, Fly, and Dusty will offer personal details about the song's origins. But we'll also learn about Dusty's new project titled Fly Virtual Reality, focused around the song, and his collaboration with virtual reality experts Serena and Stephanie. Join us for a great show, a tour de force, but I must tell you right at the outset, while this project is a powerful, brilliant application of VR, it is also coming together as the result of a tragic suicide. On the one hand, a thoughtful, inspired, and intelligent deployment of the virtual reality technology, and on the other, a brutal, difficult subject which galvanized this team and their solution. This is a personal subject for me and my family, as well as many others. It's important to discuss this, as hard as it may be sometimes. Join us as we learn about the medical use of virtual reality as an immersive technology and its prospects as treatment of the emotional pain and struggle to overcome depression and associated suicidal thoughts. Since we are at our early stages of fundraising and development, I'll put links to the project, the proposal document, and the use of funds details throughout our site, social media, and elsewhere to support the Fly Virtual Reality Project. By the way, I say we because my wife Gretchen and I are financial supporters, because we've experienced firsthand this issue. And we want to work together with the Fly Virtual Reality Project team to help change the conversation and do our part. So if I were to ask you, all three of you guys, what's more common in the U.S., homicide or suicide, what would you say?
Well, you know, before the project, I would have said homicide.
Yeah.
You know, and I think probably all three of us would have said the same thing, but Serena has been very good at sharing the statistics with us. And quite frankly, as we were discussing off camera, I had no idea that it affected a certain demographic so significantly. And I think that's a very important conversation to have and to share, even beyond the scope of our project, which might skew differently, but I think it's supposed to enlighten people in all demographics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, Serena Belsby is joining us. She's there with Dusty and Stephanie Riggs talking via Skype today. We're talking about the subject of virtual reality and some of the uses of virtual reality in the treatment, the diagnosis, and maybe even some training regarding suicide. But Serena, give us a brief background on you and talk a little bit about this statistic and what Dusty's touching on. That is that it's almost overwhelming. This is a staggering number of Americans who are committing suicide every year.
Well, I'll tell you, I had it touch my life on a very personal way. Someone very close to me died by suicide, and I did not know the warning signs. And I'm a writer director, and I was editing a feature film at a North by Northwest Studios, which is in the Pacific Northwest. And I told the CEO what had happened. I'm very close with him. And he said, well, there's a gentleman, Paul Quinnett, who's the leading suicide expert in the world that lives just right here in our town. So he put me in touch with Paul, and I spent many afternoons. I read about 10 or 15 books, the experts, what to look for, what to ask. And because I needed to process myself, I felt so much shame. I didn't tell many people when they would ask about this person who had died. We were very quiet about it. There is such a stigma, a lot, you know, that goes with suicide. People feel guilty. I felt a lot of guilt and was, you know, discovered the terrible stats that yes, it does, you know, affect men Caucasian men. The African-American young women are the group that are least affected. And I think the reason why is because they share. They talk amongst themselves. Mm-hmm. And men don't know how to share and open up. Mm-hmm. Like an older segment of the population. But I've been to suicide symposiums. And I've met people from all walks. It touches everyone. Mm-hmm. All walks of life. I've met people, you know, in our own military. You know, there's a challenge going on right now, the 22-day challenge. And it's the lead, you know, it just keeps, the numbers keep growing. And for every 1 million people that try to die by suicide, 20 million have tried and weren't successful. And so just also as a cost factor on our healthcare to prevent, you know, it is saving lives, but also dollars and cents. If there's doing more research and more prevention, it actually does have a fiscal payoff. Hmm.
That's a really excellent point, Serena. I think the points that you make about suicide being a loaded topic, there's an uneasiness discussing this. Absolutely. Those of us, you know, especially parents of teens who've been lost to suicide, this is a difficult, difficult issue. I think the mere fact that we're talking about it, I think the mere fact that Dusty has brought this home and very, very much to my attention and gathered you all, I think only, you know, gives this this additional importance to it. And it heightened my own interest. And so I'm really very interested in talking about virtual reality, because virtual reality isn't necessarily a new treatment path when it comes to mental health treatment, but it hasn't existed like this. And so, you know, with your experience, Serena, certainly Stephanie Riggs, your own experience in producing these kinds of immersive quality programming, coupled with Dusty's fantastic music, Fly, and we'll be playing some of that music throughout the program too. Maybe you guys can give me a sense as to, first, why virtual reality? Tell us all that, because I think that's the new part of this, you know, the immersive part.
Well, I think, yes, I met Stephanie at one of the user groups, and, you know, it's funny, Paul, it's just like when we first started out podcasting, we used to tease each other. It was like a group of ham radio operators, a new medium, you know, enthusiastic people who realized, hey, there are no gatekeepers. We can create this incredible content, and no one can tell us, you know, we can't drill down into a niche and really get into our passion areas. And as you know, with you and your wife, you had one of the most successful podcasts right out of the gate. The same thing kind of happened. Stephanie was working drilling down into a niche, architectural and design elements in AR/VR, and we met at this meetup. I said, "Wow, that's fantastic! This seems like a wide open community, you know, using VR to sell buildings that haven't been built yet. How unique, how extraordinary!" So we became fast friends, you know, and you kind of gravitate towards people who reflect your own sensibilities and passions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I think what struck both of us is like this education component that we wanted to bring to the entertainment component. And you've heard me use the term edutainment, which to me is, I think, really something that we should look at in all forms of entertainment and content creation. Can we educate somebody while we entertain them? Mm-hmm. So there is some kind of takeaway from a project. And great art, I think, does that just automatically. You know, I think on a subconscious level, we get educated. We might have to look at something ugly or beautiful and not have that perspective going in, but coming out, we then have a new vantage that we can glean. So when Stephanie says, "Well, look, I've been working in this meeting for 15 years," I'm like, "I had no idea. This is tremendous." And, "Oh, you're a woman. Let's break the stigma of like only men can be great directors in these new mediums, you know. Yeah. Henry Ford built the first automobile, you know. Thomas Edison created electricity, allegedly. Nikola Tesla really did, but that's another story." But, you know, like, I thought this is very empowering because we're in a new world where we're all on equal footing here. And, you know, if you're selling that contrary position, then you're not living in the real world. Mm-hmm. You're not playing in the right sandbox. Mm-hmm. So when she told me, and we didn't connect the dots immediately with the Fly project. This is something that we were already deciding we were going to work together on some projects. And I kind of threw this at her. I said, "Look, I wrote this song. It's starting to resonate with people. Mm-hmm. We know." And it was around the time, I think, the Tribeca Film Festival was just starting to break this, the second year of their immersive media programming. And Stephanie's very involved with that and her peers and our peers. And I thought, wow, this would be a powerful medium, because I'd witnessed firsthand two very powerful VR experiences at Tribeca. One was in isolation. If you were in isolation in prison, what would that experience feel like? And they used VR to create this experience. The other one was, what would it be like if you were blind and partially blind? And they used VR for that experience. And my takeaway was the emotional response you got immediately from VR. And it was so significant. It was like you felt claustrophobic when you were in that prison cell in VR. You felt like you had sight deprivation in that VR experience with this blindness experience. And you had to use your hearing now. You had to listen to the sounds around you. You could kind of make out shapes and forms. But I thought, wow, that takeaway is really hard to do something on that level that we've not seen so quickly in maybe a traditional media, two-dimensional medium.
I think we were actually meeting about something completely different. And then
we're... Leave it to a woman to really get us back.
No. Well, and this is Stephanie Riggs now talking. So, Stephanie, tell us your side of this story, because I know Dusty really well.
I think we were meeting about something completely different. And Dusty brought up this song that he had written.
Gonna burn so bright in the evening sky. Gonna circle the sun and never ask why. Won't look back on where I've been. I'm only looking forward to my forward spin. Really don't
and the influence in the background of it, and I loved your podcast on it earlier, Paul. I thought that was fantastic. And immediately, I've had these influences in my life as well, and struggles that I've had. Several friends, as a matter of fact, that have died by suicide. So it touched me in a very deep level. And I think immediately we're sitting in this ice cold conference room and everything's white, and images just started flooding. And I Dusty says, I started working this 15, 20 years ago, and in the early stages of virtual reality, back when it was more research and it wasn't a consumer viable product yet, we were looking at how do you overcome fear of heights? How do you treat PTSD, which wasn't a word that was used frequently? A lot of the money that came for the research came from the Defense Department. And so that was something in the early stages that was critical to what we were investigating in these immersive environments. Fast forward now, to present day, where, people are exploring virtual reality and immersive environments, but I'm missing that connection back to when it used to make a difference. Mm-hmm. And everything that started flooding back of how do we connect these audiences that are coming together, the power of virtual reality, and a story that can really connect and communicate and hopefully make a difference. Mm-hmm. And so ever since that first conversation, it's just opened up so many fantastic doors. And we look forward to bringing it to life in a way that is meaningful and does something with this medium that is powerful.
I know you're listening, and I know you're getting as much out of this interview as I am in doing it. So please join me, Dusty, Stephanie, and Serena for part two of this program. As a reminder, please check out the site where you'll find links to where you can go locate all the material and how to best contribute and get involved. You can easily go directly to Sun Chaser Entertainment. That's sunchaserent.com, and click donate. Donations are tax deductible. Please check out part two of the interview with Dusty, Stephanie, and Serena.
Right on a shoe.